Welcome to the IC Medan podcast. We are so glad and wanted to thank you for joining us today. If you want to know more about who we are, our service times and location, or how can you get involved, you can check our website at icmedan.com. We hope you enjoy the message.
Good evening, beautiful people of IC Medan. Yes, that's nice to hear that you are all beautiful. I'm also beautiful, you know. We are all beautiful people because God created us beautifully and wonderfully made. Amen? Amen. Let me introduce myself. I am Homar, and you can call me Homie. Really short, Homie. You can call me Homie, and I serve the Lord in IC Medan through our worship team. So I'm very thankful to be here again with you to give the word of God through the message, and I really appreciate Pastor Chris and Pastor Kerry for giving me this opportunity to be able to share again through this message. As we all know, this is another series in our church in IC Medan, which is This Day Forward. Last week, Pastor Chris discussed about the first of the five topics, the five series in our move This Day Forward, and I'm giving you the second topic of our series, which is Fight Fair. So that is the second topic. Before I say that, as you all know, I didn't bring anything here. For those who have heard me the last time I preached, I had my props here in front. You know, I had the megaphone, I had the sort of things, but now I didn't bring any. Only this water bottle. You know why? This water bottle? Because we are talking about relationships. And I feel nervous because I have to share something to you about my experience about relationship. Because my beautiful wife is here with me. So I have to be careful, my dear friends. I really have to be careful. So I have to drink water. It's really so nervous. I feel nervous tonight. But God has given me the strength and the opportunity to share to you what He has taught me from this series, from this topic that I am going to share with you. But before that, I want you all to find, I think this service, all of you are very serious, no? Is it true? Are you all really serious? Let's find out, huh? So, can I ask you to find a partner? Find a partner, your left or to your right, and then look at that person to his face and say this, follow me. Praise the Lord. Oh, again. Look at the person and say, praise the Lord. You don't look like me. Just imagine if you all look the same, no? If you all look like me, I don't know. I don't know if I am a girl, I don't know what will I look like. But I'm a man, so I know what I look like. So if all of us look the same, the girl like look like me, and then guys look like me, so we all have the common thing, monotonous. But the wonderful thing, my dear friends, is that God has given us our differences. We are different to each other. We are not the same. That's the fact. That is a reality in life. We are not the same. The way we grew up, the way we were brought up, the way things that our education or whatever we have in life now, we are not the same. But I tell you, in God's eyes, we are all equal. We are the same. He treats us and He loves us equally. And so my first premise for this message, before I go to our message, is that first one is we appreciate differences. You know, if you are planning to get married, you know, me, when I was planning to get married, I thought that it's better to have a partner that has the same attitude, same character. But it turns out that we are really different from each other. We are from the different side of the coin. My wife is very, you know, she knows how to save money. But me, when I have money, it's like flies away immediately. It doesn't stay in my hands properly. And so when someone asks me to buy a Burger King, my pocket is too deep already. I don't know how to reach where's the money in my pocket. Because it goes instantly. But that is how we appreciate things. We appreciate the differences. Second one is, we know that we have fallen short to the glory of God. We must admit that. We are sinners. I am a sinner that I have disobeyed God. I run away from God. I didn't follow God. But God is so generous. Because the third thing, the third premise is that God's love is made available to each and every one of us. He loves you so much. He loves you. Even me, when I run away from Him, I said, I don't want to go to church anymore. I don't want to serve Him anymore. I don't want anything about the church. But it was God who pulled me back. Because of that love, His love is made available to each and every one of us. And that is how God is good. He loves you so much. So when I say God's love is made available, I always like this. You know, IC Medan is always... Are you following IC Medan in Instagram? Are you following IC Medan in Instagram? So follow me when I do this, huh? Who's your first? Do it. First? Love. Okay? Let's do it. 1, 2, 3. First? Love. Where's the picture? Is there someone taking a picture? First? Love. Wow. Our first love is God. I'm just bringing you to the topic that Pastor Chris discussed last Sunday about seeking God. Because this is important as we go to the second topic of our series this evening. The first love, meaning we put God first before our spouse, before our partner. It's always God to be the first because God makes us whole. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 to 24, as a reference from last Sunday, it says, may God Himself makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole, put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If He said it, He'll do it. God is really so committed that when we attached to Him, when we call on Him and we ask Him to be in our lives, God makes us whole. I tell you this, it's a experience, but I have to drink water because I have to tell you something about our romantic love life. When I first met my wife in the seminary, when I first saw her, she was the most beautiful girl in our seminary. And I mean, she's the only one, huh? Among the others, she's the only one who's beautiful in my sight. But you know, when I saw her, I said, Lord, could she be my partner? Could she be my girlfriend? I don't know if you heard it, but the first time I preached here, I said, I had 10 girlfriends. Imagine, with my looks, 10 girlfriends. But nobody knows that they are my girlfriend. Yeah, only I knows that they are my girlfriend, but nobody knows that they are my girlfriend. I mean, I'm very shy. I'm a very shy person. I don't talk too much. I don't know what approach to do for a lady. I don't have any, it's always fear that comes in to my heart. Whenever I want to talk to a girl, I always do like this. Nothing comes out of my mouth. Nothing. Because I'm really scared. So I prayed, Lord, can you do something for me? Can you be the one to intercede between me and Lila? So it was God. It was God. I tell you, my friends, it was God who courted my wife, not me. I tell you, not me. I wasn't the one who, I just only give flowers, you know. Do you give flowers? Men, do you give flowers? I only gave flowers, but I didn't, was not able to say anything. You know, the one thing that came across into my heart was when God showed me a vision, a dream. The dream, I still always remember that. The dream was, my wife was sitting at the chapel of our seminary, and she was with a broken heart. The broken heart was by the stairs, and then God was revealed to me that I have to go to that chapel and take that broken heart and try to fix the broken heart. But later on, I tell you, why was that revealed to me? Because during the time that I have the intention to court Lila, she was mending a broken heart. She was having a heartbreak during the time when I first came to her life. And it was God who was telling me, you have to mend her broken heart. So I was there. I accompanied her through the process of her healing. And that is how God. So it was God who was courting her, not me. So when she answered me, when I asked her, you know, I have to tell you this. 3 times I asked Lila if she could be my girlfriend. You know what's her response to me? No, let's just be friends. Let's just be friends. You know, 3 times. But I was so persevere. I really believe that God has given me the answer to be the boyfriend of my wife now. She's my ex-girlfriend now. She's my wife. So God provided that opportunity for me that when the right time came, she didn't answer me. She answered God. Because God is in the center of that relationship. It is not what we want together, but it's God who is at the center of that relationship. So seek God. God makes you whole. Fighting fair, as Reverend Craig Groeschel, he says, we should commit ourselves to fight fair. Now, what does we mean fight fair? You know, in any relationship, when we undergo arguments, when we are, because we are different, we have our own ego, we have our own pride from each other, when we fight fair to find resolution. We fight towards resolution. We do not fight for winning. Couples do fight. I have to tell you that. Couples do fight. No matter what, couples will fight. Because, you know, every day when you wake up, you see your wife or you see your husband. When you go to bed, you see your husband, you see your wife again. No? Every day, 24 hours. Before, when you were in a relationship, you don't stay at the same home. But when you get married, you see each other all the time. And then you discover things. You discover the character. You discover the things that the person you haven't known before. And little by little, as you build your family, you discover things about each other. And that's the good thing. But when couples fight, you fight for resolution, towards resolution. You don't fight for winning. That is what Dr. Craig was saying. So before I continue on, can we watch this short video?
Who is better at cooking? Lena said it should be me. Okay, after this, you guys can have group off, okay? Competition. Invite me when you're there.
I'm not saying that after the contest last Valentine's Day, we were supposed to get a perfect score, 10 out of 10. But it's only when we were asked, who's the best cook? I said, me, of course. But then my wife said, I'm also the best cook. But I don't have to tell you what happened after the contest. Really, we have our differences. We have our differences. And we argue. That's the truth. We argue. But when we argue now, we argue to find resolution. Not who's supposed to win against each other. And let me say this. When we find resolution, what do we mean about resolution? Resolution is an act of finding an answer or solution to a conflict or a problem. You find, you search for that solution. You solve the problem. You find that answer. Of course, conflict, as we can define, is a disagreement between people and group that results in often angry argument. But why do people have conflict? Conflict starts because we have the letter I. The I, the ego, the pride. You know, in the Philippines, besides, I'm a Filipino. In the Philippines, we always like to try the pride chicken, the pride pork, the pride fish. It's the pride, not the fried, but the pride, the ego in us. That's why there's conflict, because when someone speaks with a high voice, the tendency of the person listening is that he or she also have to raise that voice again, more higher than the first one. And then when that goes higher, the other person will raise her voice again. And that's where all things starts, the conflict, raising here. That's one thing. That's one of the things that we encounter in life. So when it comes to conflict, nothing is worse than doing nothing. Remember that. When you do nothing, when there's conflict, when you do nothing, that is the worst case scenario. As Ann Wilson says, when resolution is no longer pursued by two parties, relationships are left to die. Friends, this topic is not just about for married couples. These are also for you, for the single ones here in this room. Relationship is not just about having a boy and girl relationship or a husband and wife. It is also you that you have relationships with in your school, with your friends, with your classmates, with everyone, your relatives, your friends. And this thing that's happening of conflict is a real reality in our lives. So when we do nothing in solving conflicts, that is, the relationships are left to die. In Matthew 5:23 and 24, it says, Jesus said, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Such a powerful message from Jesus telling us that if our hearts are not right, if our hearts are full of those bitterness, anger, because someone hurt you, someone said things against you, or your pride was really stepped on, and then they do like this. God, Jesus was saying, leave that. Go to your brother or your sister and be reconciled with that person. We must choose to move towards a resolution to the things that offended us. Problems, finding resolutions, conflict, there's only one thing that gave me the strength to look at how do we solve problems. It's not what I said before, no? Do not face the problem if the problem is your face. Not that. But choose or count your blessing, not your problems. Count your blessings, not your problems. When I first came to IC Medan, I was starting here. I was, you know, worship. We were worshiping here. Every time that I have problems in my workplace, I am really devastated. I don't know, because when my boss is too rude, when my boss is really having that strong personality, I really feel bad. My ego, my pride is being stepped on. So I asked Pastor Chris, please pray for me. But yeah, Pastor Chris prayed for me, but every time that the message of God is preached in this church, Pastor Chris and Pastor Kerry will always tell us that the message of counting your blessing, not the problem. They always tell us, I always hear that, we should always have that kind of feeling that all those problems that we face are not problems but blessing. You know why? If your boss is rude, if your boss is too strong, has a strong personality, that's not a problem. It's a blessing. Why? Because your boss in you, it teaches you how to be more, how to grow, how to find the, you know, being able to surpass things, being able to know that you can improve. Even if your boss is rude, you know that there is something in you that can be improved. So if the mistakes that you made before, you can improve it. So your boss is the person that tells you, yeah, you are not good. But that is such a blessing for you. Because for me, to every problem, there is a solution. If you are not part of the solution, you are part of the problem. So we always try to solve the problem in our lives. In James 1, verse 9 to 20, which is the key verse for our topic this evening, it says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce righteousness God desires. So there are three things that James is telling us, three principal things on how do we fight fair. One, the first one is quick to listen. When we say quick to listen, it is a way how we clarify and verify the words coming from our partner or from another person. You know, in college, when I was studying anatomy, the podium of our professor is way, way down. And we were all up here. And we cannot hear her. So she told us, in order for you to hear me, you use your hands. You put your hands by your ears. And then the resonance coming from her voice will bounce to your hands, and then you can hear her voice. And so I realized, yeah, if you use the two hands by your ear, on your ear, you hear everything that is being said here in front, because the vibration vibrates to your hands and goes in. But look, if you put it like this and then put your hands together, what does it form? It forms a heart. If you put those two hands together, it forms a heart. For me, listening is a way to listen carefully to the one that loves you, by hearing them. In Psalms 116, verse 1 and 2, it says, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy, because he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. It is such a wonderful words that God is an active listener. That even before God was already listening to you, he heard your voice. That's why God sent his only begotten Son, so that we may know that he loves you so much, that he's listening to you. That's why in this world, God's love is made available. The second principle is slow to speak. When you say slow to speak, it's not like slow to speak. No. Slow to speak, it simply means that our tongue is like a two-edged sword. When have you seen a sword? Probably no. Of course, you have seen a sword. A two-edged sword is when you cut through your left, to your right, when you swing it back, it can also cut another thing. So that's a two-edged sword. And our tongue, according to Psalms 18, verse 21, our tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The tongue can make or break a person. So, in Proverbs 21:23, it says, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. Please, friends, do not tell this to your wife or to your husband. You will get in trouble. If you say, according to Proverbs 21:23, watch your mouth and keep your mouth shut, and you will get out of trouble. Don't say that, because this is a message for each of us, to you. When you speak, you need to watch your tongue. You need to be careful. You need to re-examine. You need to examine, is this the words that I have to say to her or to this person? Because our tongue can really make or break. It can curse or it can bless a person. There are some basic rules of engagement that I want to share with you. One is never call names. When you say something, be careful. Never call names. Never call me Bobby. I don't look like a Bobby. No. If you're angry with me, don't call me Bobby. Just call me homie. Yeah. Even if you're angry, don't complete my name. Because someone, when he's angry, they call me my whole name. So just call me homie. I mean, that's an advice. Never call names. Second, never raise your voice. It's okay to go up the chair, but do not raise your voice. Do not, never raise your voice. Third one, never get historical. What do I mean? Ladies, are you okay? You know, when there's a problem, oh, back in 19-something-something, you did this, you did that, and now all the same thing that you are doing. Never be historical, because it will lead you to be hysterical. No. Never be historical. The fourth one, never say never or always. You know, when you are engaging in a conversation leading to an argument, never say never. What do I mean? Oh, your wife will tell you never threw the trash, or you never wash the plates after eating. I always am the one who's washing it. I'm always the one who's throwing the garbage. But never say never or always. The fifth one, never threaten divorce. I know here in Indonesia you have divorce. In the Philippines, we don't have divorce. They are still discussing it in the government, in the parliament right now, having divorce. But here is, you have divorce in Indonesia. But never threaten divorce. And the last one, this is important. Never quote your pastor. No, in an argument, you will say, Oh, Pastor Homer said, never say never or always. Oh, Pastor Homer said, never raise your voice. No, never quote your pastor. Own your problem. Own that problem. No? It's not my problem if you're having arguments in your home. Never quote your pastor. That you own the problem. You embrace that problem and you try to solve the problem. The last thing, the last principle, slow to get angry. For me, what is your style when you get angry? Do you immediately shout? Do you immediately burst into flames? You know, I play this game in my mobile phone. It's called the Call of Duty. Do you play Call of Duty? No. PUBG? You don't play PUBG? There are a lot of arms, weapons there. And you have to choose whatever. And sometimes the one that who's talking in front of you is just like a machine gun, you know? The voice, you know, they talk so fast, so strong. Then we get flamed up, flared up. We want to go get back at that person. My friends, let us not immediately go angry. In Ephesians 4, 26 to 27, it says, and do not sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Do you want the devil to have a foothold on you because of your anger? There are times that we all get angry. But we need to control that anger in us. We need to have a self-control. So the virtues that James is telling us is that we need to have self-control and humility in our lives. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. I tell you this, a quote from Aristotle. He said, anyone can become angry, that is easy. But to be angry with the right person to the right degree, at the right time, for the right purpose, and in the right way, that is not easy. It's so hard. Being angry to your partner, being angry to your spouse, being angry to someone, that is the hardest part. That is not easy. Yeah, in our anger, we win the battle, but we lose the war. You win the battle, but you lose the war. What do I mean? We achieve a small thing, but we fail or lose to get something which is more important. So if we win this battle today, but the war, we lose the war. We already hurt the person. We already gave that person a hurting heart, a broken heart. My friends, never fight with your spouse. Never fight with your partner for victory. Always fight for resolution. I always believe that God has the power to bring healing to any relationships if we fight fair, if we control our anger, if we are quick to listen, we are slow to speak, and we are slow to anger. And if we seek God in the midst of our relationship, in the midst of your relationship, two things that I will leave to you when it comes to relationship, when resolving conflicts in relationship. Use soft words. Soft. Not hard, but soft. Soft words. In Proverbs 15, verse 1, it says, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers fire. Do not fight fire with fire, because it will flame up. but fight fire with water. If there's fire, you need water in order to the burning will stop. Use soft words. Do not be harsh. The second one is have the right heart. A right heart, in Ephesians 4:31 and 32, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Be kind, be compassionate, be forgiving. That's the right heart. Friends, let me end this by telling you a situation in my life. I have an illness. It's called selective amnesia. You know what is selective amnesia? Or amnesia, you know amnesia? You tend to forget things, all of the things. But me, I have selective. I only choose what I want to retain in my mind. I only wanted to retain when I was starting with my relationship with my wife, because she's my first girlfriend and she's my last girlfriend. I never had a girlfriend. The 10 girlfriends, I only know that they are my girl, but they don't know that they are my girlfriends. But she's the one who only knows that I'm her boyfriend. But those things, when we were starting the relationship, I was having that selective amnesia. I was retaining the bad things that my wife tells me. I was so always enraged when she tells me some things about me, when she tells about my character, when she criticizes me of things. But, you know, God is good. He restored us. He helped us. God helped us. And, you know, the selective amnesia that I'm doing now is not the bad things that I retain, but the good things. The good things I put in my mind whenever we're together. Because, you know, like Pastor Chris said in the previous sermons, that our life is short. It's like the palm of our hands. So make use of it. Make use of that time that's there for you with your wife, with your children, with your family members. Speak love. Speak life. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 7, it says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and it keeps no record of being wrong. That is love. I highlighted it. I made it bold because love, it is not irritable. It doesn't make records of wrong. That is how love is. For me, God is so gracious and generous that even if we run away from God, even if we shoo away from Him, He doesn't list those. What He always put is that I love you, my child. I love you even if you turn away from me. I love you. I will always love you. I will always be there for you.
This is the end of the message today. Thank you again for listening to our podcast.